What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark DeBerti, the podcasting coach here, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And when it comes to being successful in podcasting or any area, what's going to give you such a big competitive advantage is focus. And focus is really hard to have that because there's so many different distractions going on. So we actually have a really special guest who's going to share with us how we could become indistractable. Our guest today, he's the best-selling author of Hooked, How to Build Habit-Forming Products. And this book takes a deep dive into the secret psychology behind products like Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And in his latest book, Indistractable, he provides the antidote to the current distraction crisis. He shares the findings from his 5 years of research into how to master what he calls the skill of the century, which is the power to be indistractable. So our guest for this interview is none other than Nir Eyal. Nir, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. What a great introduction. That you really nailed it. That is exactly what this book is all about, how to master the skill of the century. Thank you.
Nir, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. We talked a little bit about this before our interview, but my mom will definitely be listening to this one because she loved your book, Hooked, and she's going to love your book, Indistractable. Both of those books will be in the show notes for anyone who's interested in grabbing their copies. But I wonder if you could talk a little bit about focus, because you say that is a true competitive advantage. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit how we can maintain focus in the distracted worlds that we live in.
That's a great question. So this is, you know, I want to make sure everyone understands out there that I do not have good self-control. Because it's interesting, my friends who know that I've been working on this book, and as I talk to them about this, like, wow, you know, you must have such great self-control if you can do that, if you can write two books, and you know, you probably have mastered all this stuff. But I only mastered it because of these techniques, that naturally I am a very distractible person. However, with these techniques, I've really gotten that under control, and I've you know, now I'm in better shape than I've ever been. I exercise regularly for the first time in my life, even though I've never enjoyed it. I used to be clinically obese at one point in my life, so this is the first time I exercise regularly. I've improved my relationship with my family and my friends. I spend more quality time with them. I do better work. I'm able to be more productive as a writer, and most importantly, I've been able to do all this, I think, in a climate that we all feel has become one where there is more distraction these days, simply because of the fact that we have these devices with us at all times, our smartphones. You know, technology has become more pervasive and persuasive. And so that means that we have to figure out new techniques to manage our attention and live the kind of lives we want. Because if we don't, and I really believe this, and I'm saying this as an industry insider, you know, I wrote the book on how these products hook us. I can tell you as an industry insider that in this day and age, if you don't know these techniques, they're going to get you. They're going to get you. They're going to get your colleagues. They're going to get your kids. That these technology companies understand what makes you click and what makes you tick better than you understand yourself. And so it's absolutely critical that we understand these methods to become indistractable so that we can control our attention and choose our life.
And it is interesting you mentioned all these tech companies and smartphones, because in the book, like smartphones, obviously they have a lot of things that we could be distracted by, but that's not the only thing. Like, you could get rid of a smartphone and still face a lot of distraction, which I feel like people think, like, you know, I just ditched a smartphone, I'm fine, but there is certainly more to that. And the big thing with smartphones is that they give you a lot more triggers, because you look on your home screen, like me, for instance, I go on my social media tab, I see Facebook, I see Twitter, I see LinkedIn, I see Instagram, I see all of them. And right. Each of those is a different trigger. So I don't think it's digital, the technology, because we need the technology to like do this interview and so many different
exactly.
things.
Yeah.
It comes down to triggers, which is something Nir talks about. So can you share with us a little on how we can respond better to different triggers around us and zoom in on the ones we should be zooming in on?
Yeah, I mean, I think your point is right on in terms of what the real source of the problem is. You know, what I realized when I started to write this book, and I thought the book would be about digital distractions, right? That's what everybody complains about these days, is about, you know, how technology is so distracting. And of course, that plays a large role in my book and in my research, because it's the latest distraction. But we have to remember that distraction is nothing new. that Socrates and Aristotle were talking about akrasia, this tendency that we have to do things against our better interest, 2,500 years ago. So distraction is not a new problem. Now, we haven't yet figured out the tools to deal with the latest set of distraction, things like our cell phones and email and Facebook and all of these things. But, you know, what I really didn't want to espouse is what I think a lot of books around focus and productivity tell you to do, which I tried, is to basically, they all say, get rid of the technology, right? Get rid of the tools that create this distraction, but that's not practical. It's not going away, right? I need these tools for my livelihood, right? I need Facebook and Instagram and email. I need these tools to have a successful business life. And so I don't want to get rid of them. What I want to do is learn how to get the best out of them without letting them get the best of me. And so that's really what I wanted to accomplish with this book, so that, you know, these tools are amazing. We don't want to dump them. And frankly, we can't. We're not going to live in a world without email anymore, without Facebook. And another point here that I think, you know, you touched on is that clearly not all of our distractions come from these technologies. In fact, if you think about it, you know, what I discovered in my research is that one of the most pernicious forms of distraction is the open floor plan office. That if a colleague comes up to you and says, "Hey, what's going on, Mark? You want to chit chat for a bit?" And you're working on a big project that requires focus, you're going to get distracted. That's just as much of a distraction. So there are all kinds of distractions around us. And I talk about and these different environments that we find ourselves in to make sure that we can manage distraction in all these different circumstances by handling what's called the external triggers.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I see that at home too, because sometimes I'll go up in we have this setup that I have right here, for anyone who could see the video version, is where I go to do podcast interviews, but I'll sometimes go and do some of my work up here because this is an area where I'm less likely to get distracted. It's a part of the house that doesn't have as much foot traffic. So different distractions like those that aren't smartphones can really have an impact on the work that we're doing. But I also think it's people who just aren't prepared for anticipating different distractions that can come their way. And you do mention this also. You talk about the calendar being something very important. I think people should get really a lot more intentional with that. So can you share with us how we can set our calendars up for success and
absolutely
do what they say also?
Yeah, so this is super important. So let's start with this definition of what do I mean when I say distraction, right? Words really matter. So let's make sure we understand what we're talking about when we say this term distraction. In order to understand what is distraction, we have to understand what distraction is not. The opposite of distraction is not focus. The opposite of distraction is traction. Traction and distraction actually both come from the same Latin root, trahere, which means to pull. So traction is any action you take that pulls you towards what you want in life. Now, it's up to you to decide what it is you want to do with your time. I'm not going to be one of these holier-than-thou critics that says playing video games or Candy Crush or Facebook is bad, but watching football on TV is somehow morally superior. No, that's rubbish. Whatever it is you want to do with your time is fine with me, as long as you do it with intent. That's the difference. If you want to spend time on social media, do it. If you want to spend time watching Netflix, do it. But do it because you want to, not because some tech company wants you to. So we have to understand the difference between traction and distraction. Traction is any action that pulls you towards what you want to do. Distraction is the opposite. It's any action that is not that. So that means, so we've got a timeline here. We've got a horizontal axis. We've got traction to the right, and we've got distraction to the left. And so what that means, one of the critical steps, there are four critical steps to becoming indistractable. The second step, which you touched on, is about making time for traction. Here's the thing. I want folks to write this down, to engrave this in their brain. You cannot call something a distraction unless you know what it distracted you from. Okay? I had a woman who I spoke to recently, and she complained to me about how distracting everything is, right? What's going on Twitter and the news and Facebook, and her boss wants this and her kids want that, and she just can't get anything done. Everything's so distracting. And so I said, wow, that's really tough. You know, let me ask you something. What did you get distracted from today? What did you plan to do that you didn't get done? show me on your calendar what you got distracted from. And she kind of looks at me funny, and she takes out her phone and she opens up her calendar app and she shows it to me, and it's blank. It's just white space. And so she's not unusual. In fact, studies find that 2/3 of people out there do not keep any sort of calendar. And even the 1/3 who do probably don't do it correctly. So here's the thing to remember. Again, if you don't plan your day, someone else will. And I mean down to the minute. Now, some of you are going to think I'm neurotic and crazy. What do you mean down the minute? Oh, that's too much. I need time to be creative, time to be free, time to do whatever I want. Of course, put that time in your schedule as well. If you want time to stare into space, put it in your calendar. If you want time to be with your family, your friends, your kids, meditate, pray, read a book, whatever it is, put it in your calendar. Because again, these tools are just way too distracting. If it's not this, it's going to be your boss, it's going to be your coworkers, it's going to be your kids, it's going to be your spouse. Somebody is going to eat up that time if you don't decide what you want to do with it. And don't come crying to me if you get distracted if you didn't first put that in your calendar, what it is you wanted to do. So that's just one big pillar. We also have to synchronize our schedules with our stakeholders in our life. And I tell you how to do that as well. But that's a really, really important step to make sure that you make time for traction in your day.
Really great point by Nir. You can't call something a distraction unless you know what it's distracting you from. We'll actually write that down in the show notes too, in case you're doing something else right now while listening to this episode, if you can't write it down right now, because I feel like that's such a great insight to write down. So,
yeah, and sorry, Mark, one thing I wanted to add too, I actually got asked this question so much that I actually built a tool to help people make their own time box calendar. And I'll give you the link in the show notes. It's totally free. It's just basically this template that you can use. It's much, much easier to use than Google Calendar or any other calendaring system. It's totally free. Again, it's just something I kept getting asked for. So I went ahead and built it. And I'll give you the link in the show notes so that everybody can actually make their own time box calendar.
That'll be perfect. So that'll be in the show notes too. That'll be something I definitely look at, because I feel like if you're in the game of entrepreneurship, you're always looking to save some time. But Nir hit on a really key point for a lot of people in his answer. He was talking a little bit about like the different things you want to spend your time on. And he mentioned like kids and family. I think these are really important areas for so many people, but we do get distracted from spending time with those people in some cases. In that case, knowing what you're distraction is and what's just it's distracting you from. But I wonder if you could share with us how we can balance the I like how you say you say work and you say relationships, because a lot of people say work life, which I think like that phrase could be changed, but I love how you say work relationships. So I'm wondering how can we like achieve the success in business but still build the relationships we care about.
Yeah, so I talk about these three life domains, and this isn't a particularly novel idea. This idea has been around for a very long time, that we have these different domains in our life. And so my version of it is that you have these three circles, okay? You have your circle of what I call you time, right? The time for yourself to take care of the most important person in the world for you is yourself. You have to take care of your own needs before you can help others. So that means you need to make time in your day for whatever it is that you want to do with your time. And you have to do what I call turning your values into time. Turning your values into time. Because we all talk a good game, right? I certainly did. If you ask me what's most important to you in life, I would say, oh, my family, my friends, my health, these things are important to me. But if you looked at my calendar, you wouldn't see those things. So I have to walk the walk. So I have to put that time in my calendar. So your time falls into three life domains. So the first thing you want to do is to put time in your calendar, time for you, which means time for getting enough sleep. Is that in your calendar when your bedtime routine starts? Is time to make healthy meals in your calendar? Is time to exercise, feed your brain with audiobooks or courses or whatever it is? Again, whatever values you have, values are defined as the attributes of the person you want to become. So don't use my values. Consider your values and what values you want to put in your day. So that's the me domain, the domain of you. Then you've got, above that, you have the domain of relationships. So relationships are about, you know, your loved ones, your family, your friends, your community members, your church perhaps. Do you have that in your day? Time to invest in those relationships. And then finally is the work domain. And so this is where people, if they schedule, this is the kind of stuff they schedule, a meeting here, an appointment there, you know, a call there. But if you have certain tasks that are required of you to perform your job. And for most people out there, you know, most of us are knowledge workers these days. For most knowledge workers, your output, what you do for a living, is that you solve problems. That's really what we do. We solve problems for a living. And when I interviewed this book for this book, and when I interviewed people, I asked almost everyone, you know, do you need this? Like, do you need time to focus? And everybody told me, oh, absolutely. I totally need that, right? I can't solve problems unless I have time to think about these novel solutions. And then I said, well, where is that time on your calendar? I don't know. I'll find it. Of course, we don't find it. We have to make time for it. So we have to make time in our calendar, time to be indistractable, literally time on our calendar where what we do is we write, we think, we concentrate, we focus on finding solutions to these novel, difficult problems, or else they never get solved. They never get done. And so that really is a competitive advantage. You wouldn't believe, you know, how many people ask me for advice about this or that, and how many of us, you know, this multi-billion dollar self-help industry where we're asking gurus and experts to tell us what to do in life. Whereas if we just plan some time in our day to think for a little bit, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes of, I'm going to think through this problem. For me, I write out things that are on my mind. That helps me solve problems. And so that time needs to be in our schedule as well.
And I really love that idea of thinking time, because one of the things for me, and I feel like this could be a lot of people, is you're on a task, like writing a book. I feel like you're especially guilty of this when you're writing a book. So like I'm writing a book about, you know, being a successful public speaker. And when I'm hitting on like one of the topics is like organizing your own event, which I help people do. And when I'm writing about organizing your own event, I'm like writing about like different tactics in it. And then I'm like, let me check to see how my event is doing, because I'm doing one in San Diego. And it's like, I go into Eventbrite, I check, I try to share it with a few more people, but then all of a sudden I'm away from my book. So yeah. I definitely get the idea that, you know, you're thinking, but you have this important thing, you know, you have to do, but you have to give it the thinking time. So I love how you have that buffer where this have a little more control.
Sorry to interrupt, but this is such a great point. This happens to folks all the time where you say you're going to do one thing, right? You're going to work on that big project. You're going to write that paper, the book, or whatever, the report you're working on, stuff that requires focus and concentration. And then you say to yourself, oh, you know what? I should probably just do that one thing real quick. Let me just check email real quick or see what's going on in that Slack channel, because that feels worky, right? That's kind of a productive, worky thing. But the thing is, distraction tricks you. Distraction makes you think that what you're doing is actually important at that moment when it's not, when it can wait a few extra minutes. So if what you want to do with your time, if you set aside 45 minutes to do, you know, to write, to be creative, to think, to whatever, to email, whatever it is that you want to do with your time, and you do anything else, that's distraction. Even if it feels productive, it is still a distraction because it's not what you plan to do with your time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great point. Like in the moment, like you feel like you're doing something, but you did take your eye off the main prize. In my case, it was the book, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So definitely really great insight there. And I do want to ask you this question, because you wrote the book about habits, and a lot of this book is based on forming the right habits, having the right triggers in play and things like that. So I'm wondering if you could share with us some of your habits that you would say have been essential for your success.
So I'll be honest with you. I think habits, most habits, or what people think about habits, are probably overplayed because we have to remember the definition of a habit. A habit is defined as a behavior done with little or no conscious thought. So what a lot of people think is a habit is actually not a habit. For example, writing is not a habit. Even if you write every day, why? Because writing is not something you do with little or no conscious thought, unless it's, you know, you're writing gobbledygook. If you are doing it with effort, and it certainly is effortful for me. I mean, writing is very difficult. I have to think hard. I get bored. I get tired. I want to get distracted. So writing is not really a habit. Journaling is not really a habit. Even, you know, exercise. Maybe walking could become a habit because you can kind of become mindless while you're walking. But if you're trying to beat your time, if you're trying to lift more weight, if you have to exert effort to be better at whatever it is you're doing, that's not a habit. And the problem is that people think, when people say, "Ooh, I'm going to form a habit with something," what they really mean is, I want this to be effortless. I don't have to do the hard work. And they get into this trap where they think, oh, I'm going to make a habit out of whatever, of eating right, of exercise. And they say, oh, you know, I heard somewhere online that it takes 28 days to form a habit. That's bullshit, by the way. That's not true. And then day 29 comes along and exercising in the gym still hurts. And it's still hard because making progress hurts and it's difficult. And they say, well, why isn't it effortless? Why isn't it easy? Didn't I make a habit out of it? And they quit. So it's super important that we understand the difference between a habit and a routine. A habit is a behavior done with little or no conscious thought. A routine is simply a series of behaviors frequently repeated. And so this isn't just semantics. This is super important because if we expect a routine to become a habit and it doesn't, it can backfire. So the idea is that every habit first has to become a routine, but not every routine becomes a habit. And so we need to expect that sometimes our routines will never become habits because they're hard work. So don't convince yourself that just because it's not easy, it's not worth doing, or you did something wrong. A lot of behaviors will never become habits, and that's cool. But we need these other techniques. We only talked about one of them. We talked about making time for traction, but there's three other techniques that are super important to becoming indistractable.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I mean, I've always viewed it as habits, just like, because I didn't have this definition of habits in play, because you see like writing habit articles or you see like different things like that. I definitely get the difference though in how, I mean, habits are more effortless while routine definitely makes more sense, because running, I've been running for years. Running is still hard when you do a workout, but it is a routine. So I'm wondering if we could just flip the wording a little bit and can you share with us some of the routines that you feel like have really helped you become successful?
Sure. So great. Yeah, I appreciate it. So when it comes to routine, then yeah, there are several. I think writing is a routine that has definitely helped me. I mean, when I made time to think in my day, and it's usually the first thing I do professionally, you know, so after every morning I wake up and I work out. I didn't used to work out, but first thing I do actually, let me back up. I make breakfast for my family. Studies have found that one of the best things you can do for your kids is to have regular meals with them. So very rarely will I skip breakfast with my wife and my daughter. That's a tradition we have almost every single day. So I'm the cook in the house for breakfast at least. So I make breakfast for my family. Then I go exercise. It's another routine that's become part of my life. I used to hate exercise, absolutely miserable. But now it's something I really have learned to enjoy and has become a routine. Still not a habit, but it has now become a routine. And then the next thing I'll do is I sit down, you know, after I shower, I come back from the gym. I'll sit down at my desk and I'll write. And that writing and routine, I think, is really undervalued by folks. They think, you know, again, back to this, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but this idea of, you know, people having the time to just think through their own problems is an underutilized skill. We're so habituated to just Googling for the answer or buying a book about the answer or asking a guru to help us with something. When, you know, many of our problems, if we just make time to think about them in peace and quiet for a few minutes, we can solve many of our own challenges.
And I definitely like those routines. I've heard a lot about the exercise, but I really do like the fact, I mean, Nir is a guy who, I mean, just based on that answer, you know, he's a guy who does what he preaches. Like, he's spending time with his family. He's making that time at the beginning of the day for the breakfast. And then he's able to exercise, take care of himself, but then able to do the work that he needs to do, the relationships, all these different things. So if you want to learn how to do that for yourself, I mean, this episode definitely gave you a really solid foundation. Indistractable will really put the whole picture together. That's his book. You get his book Hooked also, because I do recommend that. My mom recommends it stronger than me. I liked it, but I mean, like, I hear about the book like every single week. It's like, so she's definitely happy that we're doing this. But I'm wondering, in addition to your two books, where else can we follow your work and your journey?
Absolutely. So my blog is at nirandfar.com. Nir spelled a little funny. It's spelled like my first name, N-I-R. So nirandfar.com. And for more information about Indistractable, I actually have all kinds of guides. There's an 80-page workbook you can download. All of this great stuff at indistractable.com.
Nir, thank you so much for sharing those resources with us and all of your great insights. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you so much, Mark. My pleasure.